Well, in your Bibles tonight, you won't need to stand. I'm going to be rambling a little bit over the book of Philippians. I want to start tonight. I want to look in a few things in the book of Philippians, and we'll see how long we go. The Lord may allow me to go through the whole book. I hope so. Don't panic, not all tonight. But I would like to try to maybe use some 12 or 14 sermons out of this book. Very educational, very informative book. Paul is writing here out of a jail cell. You know, my eyes have been opened so much out of our culture into another world of overseas of just really how good we do have it tonight. Boy, we want to whine if we have a flat through the week. Paul didn't have a car. We want to whine if we can't pay the power bill. He didn't have no lights to turn on. He didn't have a house to pay a power bill in. And you know, if you look things in perspective, and when you see people that sleep over in a service on wood plank pews, and they wear the same clothes tonight that they did last night because they slept in them in the church, just to be there when you come back and preach to them, you get on preaching in about 50-minute sermon, and your khaki pants is wet, look like you jumped in a swimming pool, and they'll ask you, is that all you can do? Then you want to throw rock at Baptist here. Well, we're spoilt, aren't we? We've never had it so good. And, you know, we ought to put things in perspective just to really realize how blessed we are tonight. Now, you'll notice in this opening verse of Philippians, chapter number 1, said, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Father, I pray tonight you'd help me as I've studied today. Pray you'd bring the things to my mind tonight. You'd touch our hearts from the Word of God. I pray you'd send the Holy Ghost tonight and help us. Lord, would the Holy Ghost magnify Christ in the Scripture tonight? Help us now. I pray for these prayer requests, each teacher tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll notice something, this book of Philippians, it starts out a little different in verse 1. Most of the time in Paul's writings, Paul said, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, you'll see that Paul introduced himself just as Paul and Timothy. Now, why did not Paul throw out his weighty office of being an apostle? And by the way, the days of the apostles are over. That's gone. The Lord Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, they laid the foundation. No doubt we're putting shingles on the roof tonight. We're soon to go home of the dispensation of the church age. But certainly, Paul did not throw his weight around as being an apostle. He did not correct this church. This church was very dear to Paul's heart. You'll notice in the early beginnings of this church, and we'll turn over in the book of Acts, and we'll look at chapter number 16. We'll come back. You can hold your place. But this church was very dear to Paul. They knew Paul on a first-name basis when he was writing to the church of Rome. He had never even been to that church. Therefore, he sent to him as the apostle, saying, I have the authority to tell you this. But here, this infant church knew Paul personally. They knew Paul as an individual that did great things in their area. You'll notice in Acts 16, verse 6, Paul's going on a missionary journey, and he's headed toward the east. The Bible said they'd gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia, and they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. I want you to notice something about that. You would think that God would want the gospel preached everywhere, wouldn't you? And He does. But God has a specific work for a specific time. God would not allow him to settle down in Galatia. He's pushing him ahead. And I'm going to tell you something. We that are saved tonight and the Holy Spirit lives in us, when you walk and you have this relationship with Christ, you can know what the Holy Ghost is telling you tonight. And he said they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word. How How in the world would the Holy Ghost forbid you wouldn't have liberty to do that? You just felt like that God was pushing you in another direction. The Bible said the Holy Ghost would lead and guide you into all truth. And certainly I'm glad He lives in me tonight. There's times in our service that He pushes me to preach. Sunday morning I didn't have the burden to preach. I came ready to preach. I'd studied to preach, but the Holy Ghost just wouldn't give me the nudge to preach. And so, may I say this, the Holy Ghost knows what we need. A lot of times you may say, well, if I was a pastor, I'd preach this, or I'd preach that. Well, that's why you're not the pastor. As simple as I know to tell you. The Holy Ghost knows what we need tonight. And so the Bible said, and they was passing by Messiah, came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So we loosed from Troas, and we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, in a colony. And we were in that city abide certain days. Now, Paul had been preaching the gospel in the east, in Asia. He's left now. The Holy Ghost has forbidden him to go to the east. He turned him west and sent him toward Rome. Sent him out toward Europe. Thank God he did. Because therefore America has been evangelized. What would have happened if God had not sent us the gospel? Oh my, what a terrible sight we would be in tonight. But he says this in verse 12, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and it was a colony. We were in that city abiding certain days. And so on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside. Now I want you to notice in verse 12, look how Paul was waiting on the moving of the Holy Ghost. Man, just as soon as I'd have hit town, I'd have pulled me out a pack of tracts, Brother Darrell, and I'd went distributing every place. I've been trying to win folks to the Lord Jesus. But I want you to look what he said and look what the Bible says. He said in verse 12, he said, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief part. So they came to Macedonia in a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. What's going on? They're waiting for God to move upon them of what to do. It's very important to know what the Lord is wanting you to do. I want to say tonight, you can get ahead of God. You know, we can be eat up with zeal and no Holy Ghost about it. Now, you see, a lot of people get in trouble. They do things because they have great zeal, but it's no God on it. And so we have to wait for the moving of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, so on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake to the women that resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, you remember her a lot, and I want to use it tonight, that she had a tender heart. Now, this church of Philippi is fixing to get started. Paul goes in and he tells her about the Lord. He said, she worshipped God and heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. She attended to the things that were spoke of Paul. When she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, you'll find that Paul and his evangelistic team, they won this lady to the Lord, and the Lord knew what they needed because she took them back home. She gave them a place of lodging, a place to stay. Thank God for people that's got a heart for the men of God. Thank the Lord for them kind of people. The Bible said, and so not only do you find here that this lady's heart was tender, but you'll find another damsel came on the scene. Her heart was tormented. The Bible said in verse 16, it came to pass as we went to prayer, show our praying a lot, aren't they? A certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. She's a fortune teller. Let me tell you tonight, they're real. Stay away from them, but they're real. The same followed Paul and us and cried, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. When her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them to the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. They were labeled as troublemakers. Now, notice this. If you won't get in people's box, and if you won't do what people think you ought to do, and if you'll do what the Holy Ghost tells you to do, you're labeled a troublemaker. And you better be sure of that. You're labeled a troublemaker. And notice this. They were not interested about this young lady's soul. They was interested in what they could get out of the benefits of her being sold out to the devil. And that's just the way this world is. They're money crazy. They're not worried about souls. Listen, don't think that the high powers of our country is going to turn around and get soul-minded. Oh, they money-minded tonight. Stock market's running wild, down 250 points today. People be jumping out of the windows for long. What are you saying, preacher? Well, I'm saying, listen to me. If you're going to have a compassion for souls, you're going to pay a price. And he said they do trouble our city. I wish we could give Bowden a lot of trouble. I wish we could close down the ball games on Wednesday night in the ball practice. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Everybody tell the coaches, we don't practice ball Wednesday night. We come to the house of God. Wouldn't that be a different tune? Isn't it something, the way the world loves to design things to keep you youngins tied up and out of church? But wouldn't it be a blessing if we could turn our town upside down? They do exceedingly trouble our city. They teach customs which are not lawful for us. In other words, they're not going by our tradition. And the multitude rose up together against them. You always remember this. God's youngins has been the minority, and they'll always be a minority. Always be a minority. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the masters rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. I want to say something. There's a lot of good big churches, but most big churches in America tonight that I've studied and seen, you know what they're doing? They're doing nothing but stroking ego of people. You take a man filled with the Holy Ghost and preach this Bible to an average Baptist church tonight, they'll fly like a covey of birds. You know why? Because most little Baptist churches become sin-den havens and courting places. And places of politicians, places of big business, which never belonged in the church house. Friend, Bible preaching brings conviction. Let me say this tonight. Drama teams do not bring conviction. I don't give a rip what you think tonight. They don't bring conviction. People say, well, you ought to back off. I ain't backing off on nothing. It ain't in the Word of God. If it's error, it ought to be exposed. It ain't right tonight. Women preachers ain't right tonight. I don't care who's doing it. I don't care what kind of mobs are flocking to it, honey. The Bible's right. And you're either going to have the Bible and truth and the Holy Ghost, or you're going to have a big amusement center and no Holy Ghost. I'll take a handful of people tonight who will study the Word of God filled with the Holy Ghost and know something about the Word of God. The average Baptist preacher tonight, the little heel hounds, they're scared they're going to upset somebody. Thank God I got a church tonight that's with me. Thank God most of you have been saved on this old time gospel and you got some glue in your britches tonight. Every little whim of doctrine, preacher get loud or get hard, hurt your feelings, you pout. Where's that? I thought I had a pasty on here. I was going to throw it up the aisle tonight. We live in a time of hurt feelings. Get over feelings tonight. Get in the Word of God and see what it says. And any man of God that's worth his salt will preach the Bible to his people. How in the world can a man be the husband of one wife and be a woman and pastor a church? Look at it in your Bible. Well, preacher, you offend me to say that. I don't apologize. Line up with the Bible. You won't get offended. The Bible offends me when I'm walking contrary to it. But I'm not going to turn it around and try to adjust to my walk. I've got to walk to it. We don't turn it to fit us. We do it as it says do. Preach the gospel. Love sinners. Love one another. Let it be focused on Christ tonight. It's all about Him. It's not about me and you. It's about Christ. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. If you teach customs which are not lawful to receive, you're going to tire people's nerves up. You are who you run with. I'm not running with them. I'm going to run with people who believe like this Bible. Friend, you're not going to catch me around a round table of people trying to figure out Bowden's problems living like anything. I don't know where all that come from, but I'm glad it did. I've been studying too much today. Now the Bible said this, they teach customs not lawful for us to receive. And the multitude rose up together against them. You know, you would think, surely to goodness, that the majority would want to do right, wouldn't you? That's why Baptist churches are such a mess tonight on all this voting business. I found out most time majority ain't right. So the multitude rose up together against them and rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. I tell you what was the problem right there. Church wasn't big enough to have some boys take care of the preacher. I want to say this. You ought to stand up for your preacher if he's preaching right. We ought to love people. You know something? Churches love to get little cliques and organizations and power in churches so they can influence the preacher. And so then when they get a little grip over there, then they're pastoring the church. The preacher ain't pastoring the church. Friend, you can only have one head in a body. The great shepherd leads the little under shepherd. This rule of government going on is not in our body. I want you to show that to me. A lot of you heard of Brother Jerry Vines, one of the greatest preachers in America. He was, matter of fact, he was president of the Southern Baptist Association. Good Bible man. He didn't believe in all this voting in the church. Read his book. He said, God's always had one way, Brother Tim. It's that under shepherd leading his people across to Canaan land. When you get the power of the people, you say, Brother Tim, I don't know why in the world you preach so hard and embarrass people. I tell you why. So they don't take the church over. Do you run the church, Brother Ken? No, but I'm here to be sure you don't. As good as I like, Brother Troy and Brother Dennis, you let them get a little click together. And they come by and say, preacher, you know, you ought to back off on that. Now, we come to say you ought to back off on that. And the whole time I'm preaching, I'm looking at Brother Dennis and Brother Troy. And then I'm influenced about men's decisions instead of what the Holy Ghost is wanting to say. And you know something? It don't matter what I say. When you come here Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday, you need to know what the Holy Ghost is saying to you. And to me, this Bible cuts me like it cuts you. I can't run around a verse just because I know it's going to offend somebody that pays their tithe big. That's why I don't even like to hear what people give. I don't even want to know. Because, buddy, I'm going to bust your hide you do wrong. I'm going to bust your hide. I don't want to know what you give. And I'm human. I can be influenced. And I don't want no clicks and clacks running this thing tonight. I want God to have the honor and the glory about everything. And you better be sure, honey, when you're doing right, the multitudes ain't going to flock to you. I tell you what I believe. I believe you'll see some of the best families in this area come to truth. Brother Darrell, he said he chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God is so sovereign. He's got people in this area He's going to save with you or without me. But you know where He's going to send to save them? Where truth's at. You notice Sunday night I was preaching on that open door. You know why they had an open door? Because they had held the truth and they honored God's name. Why would they want to open doors for us if we wouldn't give truth or honor God's name? And I'm working on something y'all help me pray on. Be ye angry and sin not. I'm reading a book on the office of a pastor. I'm trying to get in line being a good pastor. But I don't want to lose guts. I don't want to be a little Baptist hill hound. I want to love people. I want to love people. And boy, in my immaturity and pastor, and I've lost my temper here, pastor. And I'd have to apologize, Brother Felton, at the 11 o'clock hour when it was full. Boy, God knows how to humble you, don't he, Brother? He'll make you think about what you're saying. Now, what I've said a lot of time was right, but I said it wrong. Oh, y'all turn them little halos. Jack them on up there tonight. I can tell, boy, y'all got everything ironed out. I can tell none of y'all got feelings. Why, some of you granny, somebody mess that grand young, you'll claw their eyeballs out. So he touched a tender heart. He touched a tormented heart. She's a soothsayer. Paul cast that devil out. You'll notice now he's going to touch a tough heart. The Bible said that he got thrown in jail. And it's something that the sovereignty of God can take your worst night and turn it to the brightest day of your life. They got put in jail because they was preaching the gospel. Has anybody ever told you you never would have no problem if you was right with God? I wonder what you could tell Brother Paul tonight. Hey, what about these boys tell you if you'll serve God, you'll have a pocket full of money and no problems, no issues. I wonder could you tell these boys that? They not only was in jail, they was in stocks. They'd been whooped. Bleeding, hurting. Boy, I'd love to have seen him say something to Benny Hinn after that message. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. If you do right, you're going to suffer for it. And you hear me tonight. Hear you, preacher. If somebody got to pat you on the back all the time to serve and love God, you better check in and see if you got God living in you tonight. I know young Christians got to be brought along, but it's a time you quit saying. He said, grow up. I worry about people that's so self-centered. Don't grow up. So he reached a tough heart. You know the scripture, boy, the jailer got saved by the grace of God. And I'm glad to know what to tell him. Verse 30, he brought him out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And by the way, this hadn't changed tonight. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I love this in thy house. Aren't you glad it's enough Jesus to go around down in your house? So he touched a tender heart, a tormented heart, and an old tough heart. Now the Philippian church has started. You mentioned Paul. They said, yes, sir. I know him. We love him. Said, the Lord used him to tell us about Christ. So he starts this letter out in a personal way. Matter of fact, a lot of scholars will tell you he loved this church more than any that he ever wrote to. He had a personal relationship. I'm going to tell you something. God has allowed me to preach at a lot of places, but it ain't no place like this place. And if there's any times that I'd rather be at another place, than this ain't the place. There's been times I've come by here to preach revivals. I said, dear God, I wish I could turn in there and preach tonight. But they knew Paul. They had a great relationship together. He didn't have to address himself as the apostle, but he said simply, Paul. Now, I want to note three things tonight and roughly go around. I want to show a great Bible truth to you that will help you tomorrow in where we live. And I want you to notice, first of all, the description of the Christians. the descriptions of the Christians. Philippians 1, verse 1. He said, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. To all the saints in Christ Jesus. I want to deal first of all with that word, servants. Or it's translated bond slave. Now, I'm glad tonight we were freed from the bondage of Satan and sin. We are servants of the Lord Jesus tonight. Every one of us are servants of the Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, did you know everybody in the house tonight is a minister of the gospel? Did you know that? I didn't say pastor. I said minister of the gospel. Everybody that's saved tonight ought to be able to minister this gospel. And so we see we are servants. And this thing interpreted is a bond slave. Now you'll see in 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. He says this about this word of redemption. He said, forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, we were redeemed by the blood. That's the only thing that can buy you back into harmony with the Holy God tonight is the blood of His Son. Redeem means ransom. Redemption means a price. So there was a price paid for you and I to redeem us out of that bondage that we were in. We were slaves to Satan and sin. And that's what people don't realize. Lost people are doing all they know to do. A lot of people say, well, preacher, I did all of this for many years. Will God forgive me? Sure, He'll forgive you because you had that old nature. That's all you knew was to do what you's doing. But when He saves you and washes you in His blood, He gives you a new nature. And so He's redeemed us. He's paid the price. Let's look at something in Exodus 21 and verse 1, and I'll hurriedly go there. Exodus 21 and 1 about this bond slave. Let's look at what their option was when they were bought in Exodus 21 and 1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall bring him to the door, to the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. You know what Paul was saying? Paul was saying, Lord, I love you way too much to turn back now. Lord, I'm glad to be your servant. I'm glad to be your bond slave. He was happy at staying with the Lord. I want to say something. I'm a well-satisfied slave tonight. Boy, the Lord Jesus Christ is my master. And I'm glad He's a good master tonight. He's a lot better than the devil. Many days I woke up and didn't know how I got there. Many nights I was looking for another fix. But thanks be to God, one day He mounted Calvary's cross and died for sinners like me and you. And by grace He come by my way, dealt with me by the Word of God, convicted me of my sin, and by faith I walked toward the cross, and He saved me and washed me in His blood. And tonight I'm glad that I'm a bond servant in the house of the Lord Jesus. I'm glad I don't have to answer to this world. I'm glad I report in to the Master tonight, friend. Thank God I got on another track. And it's something about these masters. You ever thought about this? He said we are servants or we're bond slaves. Did you know that we are the master's responsibility for our needs? Did you know He has the responsibility to see about our needs? No slave ever lived in a quarters on their own doings. They were seen about. In Matthew 6 and 24, we live in a very tough time. But this has not changed. He said, Matthew 6, 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, else he'll hold the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought or no worry for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? The fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. I ain't seen a little old bird storing a worm in a barn yet. And I was raised in the country around barns all my life. And he says this, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Preacher, don't look like we're going to make it. No, you hadn't read the Bible, honey. We're going to make it. We're God's responsibility tonight. He's bought us with a price. He's our master. And the master has responsibility for our needs. And you know something else that was brought to light to me today? Not only is he responsible for our needs, but he's responsible for our duties. Did you know that slaves do not choose their own task? He determines the field of where he puts you. Did you know it's no accident tonight that you're working out of the field of Liberty Baptist Church? God has predetermined, God has foreordained that you would work out of the field of Liberty Baptist. Isn't that amazing? The master, you see, the slave don't wake up and say, hey, I'm going to go over yonder on the back 40 and work today. No, no, he says, hey, buddy, go over yonder and you go yonder and you go yonder. God knows what He's doing tonight. I had no idea, Brother Tim, no idea, when He put me in a room of five families on a high chair, what He would do in this field. We held hands about where that chapel's built one night. This place was eat up with kudzu. Y'all fellas remember, we prayed and they called the law to us. Said they've lost their mind. They've parked up and down the road. They've crossed the pasture fence. They're out there praying in the kudzu field. Wasn't long, we put a sign up, Liberty Baptist Church. Dozers began to doze. There was chicken houses out here we didn't even know was on the property. Kudzu had them here. We didn't even know they was here. The old Legion Club. People said, you're going to build a church by that old beer joint? So now God is. Wasn't long, lightning struck it. They called me on the cell phone, asked the most stupidest question I've ever been asked. Do we call the fire department? I said, praise God, go to Texaco and get gas. Isn't it amazing? The church had done owned, I think, 3 acres right behind it, went right up to the fence line. That thing burnt down. We bought it nearly for nothing. God just basically give it to us. We picked every brick up, hauled it off this hillside, and built a tabernacle up yonder for the glory of God. Where people used to ruin their lives, now their lives are changed. What are you saying? God puts you in a field. And He puts everybody there that He needs to make things happen. You ever notice when a family leave the church, He'll send two more to take their place? That used to run me wild. Why would families leave something like this? Oh, I know, preacher, because you're too loud. Okay, I got it. Preacher, because you're too mean. I understand that. But tell me, folks, how could people leave a place where the Holy Ghost is? I've never understood that. And this is what's amazing. I could understand if they'd go to another Holy Ghost place, but they'll go to a zoo. That, how could you be in a service like we was here Sunday and Sunday night for years and leave that environment and go to something? Brother Philip, how? Miss Flo, something don't click with me. I know it ain't the only church in town. I'm just saying, how can you worship God and all of a sudden you say, I'm not going to worship God no more? Something ain't connecting. So He puts us in the field. It's His responsibility to take care of our needs. Listen, God's not going to let you starve. Now, He might not want you to sit in a recliner all day and wait Him to come in there and spread the ceiling back and let the ravens throw something in there for your family to eat. We got to apply ourselves. There's a lot of jobs. May not make what you want to make or what I'd want to make, but you can get a job. I didn't want to start out loading the Pepsi truck, but I did. I didn't want to start out on a milk route, but I did. If Macy's here, she'd be doing this. Get up at 2 in the morning and get home at 8 at night. That's the real deal, folks. If you'll apply yourself, God will bless you. God will provide. You're God's. You're not the Baptist, you're God's. You're God's responsibility. He's going to feed you. He's going to take care of you. I think a lot of times we bring things on ourselves. And most of the time when I got in trouble, I was doing things I didn't need to be doing. I used to live in a single wide trailer you could throw a cat out of and had a $6,000 bass boat in the front yard. My priorities was right. I was fishing out of Saturday of better than what my wife was living in. You talking about a redneck friend, I was eat up with it. Some of you families think you got it. You ask Mr. and after sir, we've come home and seen candles bent over touching the TV. It got so hot that day. She'd ask me, honey, what you want for supper? We had a little gas stove. I said, nothing. Nothing. You sit on the couch, you just sweat like a pig. We'd go to Ma-in-law's because they had air conditioner at work. We'd go to Kmart and look around because it's a cool store. Y'all don't know what none of that's about tonight, do you? It'd be so hot, we'd go to a movie. Praise God for the air conditioner. Didn't care what was on, it's cold. We're God's responsibility. He sees about our needs and He puts us where we're to work. And I want to tell you something. He's responsible for furnishing our supplies. Look in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Don't you never let nobody mealy-mouth about a church taking care of a preacher. You hush him up with 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Any missionary comes through this place, they ought to not be going to warfare on their own charges. The Bible said, 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 7, who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? In other words, he said, if the Marines draft you, don't they give you a rifle? Don't they give you something to go around in? Don't they give you boots and clothes to wear? Don't they feed you and take care of you? So who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? He's preaching for money. I'd love to arm wrestle you over that one. Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof, or who feedeth the flock and not eateth not the milk of the flock? Say these things as a man, or saith the law. Verse 9, it's written the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Verse 11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing, we shall reap your carnal things. Verse 16, verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live with the gospel. I hear some of them old timers. You know there's some men tonight won't even preach me no more because I went full-time ministry. They hadn't read that verse right. Do you see that right there? Verse 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live with the gospel. Did you know all of the Leviticus preached? You know where they lived? The priests of the Old Testament. You know where they lived? They lived the priesthood at the tabernacle. They were taken care of at the house of God. God has ordained that. Preachers say, well, now he's went full time, he's quit his job, he's got too sorry to work. I wish he could walk around in these foot joys a week or two. Anyway, that helped me. Didn't help you. Description of the Christians. And then we see not only the servants, but look at the saints. The saints, he said in verse 1, he said, not only are you servants, but you're saints. Saints simply means we're set apart or consecrated. Now, Christian is a Christ one. Christian is a Christ one. Look at Ephesians 4:14. I'm going to close in just a minute. I'm watching my time. Ephesians, and I know you're not pushing me. I'm pushing me. Ephesians 4. Nobody's never mentioned me about time except Macy. Ephesians 4, verse 14. Now watch this. We're called saints. But in Ephesians 4 and 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You better look in your Bible and see what's going on.
Amen. Amen.
By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Send me something. Send me something. It'll get better. Send me something. It'll get better. You better watch it. Verse 15. Underline this and watch what it says. Be careful what it says because we've got to go home. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is that. You know what Christ's desire for every one of us tonight is? Is that we would grow up into Him. I wonder how many of us would be offended if we'd grow up into Him. I wonder how many of us would be self-centered if we would grow up into Him. And you know something, we that are saved the longest, we ought to be getting there in a progressive state every week. Grow up into Him. Saints. Christ-like. Now, boy, this is good right here. I never noticed this. Maybe you have. But I got to share it with you before we go. Not only the description of the Christians, but look at the dwelling place of the Christians. Now, you look how your Bible reads back in Philippians now. Not only were we servants and saints, the description of Christians, but now look at the dwelling place of the Christians. The Bible says this. He said, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. Now, He did not say you was in Philippi and at Christ Jesus. But He said, you are in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Can I tell you, it's a big difference tonight. The dwelling place of the Christian, we are in Christ. When He sees you and you're saved, He sees Christ. That's the way you're getting to heaven. You've been put in Christ tonight. We're in Christ. We've been bought with a price. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been positionally placed in Christ. And so He says this, listen. He says to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, this dwelling place, there's protection from an evil life. Listen to me, no matter what kind of environment you're in tonight, you're protected. Because you're in Christ. Did you know the Bible says be the salt of the earth and a light set on a hillside in the book of Matthew? Did you know in your hostile environment that God's got you in, He's got you protected? They was living in a severe hostile state. But Paul's reminding them, listen, you're not in Philippi. You're just at Philippi. You're in Christ doing what God wants you to do at Philippi. Can I tell you, friend, every devil out of the pit cannot harm you unless God gives them permission. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord encampeth around about those that fear God. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Who are the called according to His purpose. They were in great protection. Me and you have no idea how protected we are. We're in Christ Jesus at Bowden, Georgia. We're not in Bowden, Georgia. Some of you in Bowden, Georgia at Jesus Christ. But honey, I'm glad I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ at Bowden, Georgia. shows great protection. And then it also does this. It shows great possibility. Even though the moral condition of an evil city would be a constant peril, they could live a holy and a separated life because they were in Christ. Let me tell you something tonight. The devil made me do it as a cop-out. The devil ain't made you do nothing. The Bible said if you would love God and draw nigh to Him, He would draw nigh to you. We get our own selves in trouble. And we have no cop-out for not living right in our society. I hear this all the time. Everybody else is doing it. They've always done it. Young people, you don't have to smoke their weed. You don't have to do their occasional Bud Light on Friday night. You don't have to smoke the first Marlboro. You don't have to do the things that are ungodly in a backside of a place on a dirt road. You don't have to do them kind of things. You can live holy and separated and give your life to the Lord Jesus because you've been put in Him. No longer do I have to be in bondage to the things of the world. I could never quit smoking long as I was a lost man. Honey, when I got saved, the power of the Holy Ghost allowed me to get rid of that lifestyle. Copenhagen, I love it better than anybody dipping it tonight. But you don't have to be doing it. I'm not preaching that you're going to hell to do it. I'm saying you can have liberty through the Lord Jesus, that He can break them chains of addictions tonight. Well, everybody else is doing it. Well, you don't have to do it. Sex sells, don't it? That's a strategy of America. Did you notice the porn industry's asked for the bailout? Has anybody seen that garbage? That's where America is tonight. It's unbelievable. You know yourself. Everything now, a young lady half naked's got to present it and sell it. America don't blush no more. Well, some of y'all looking down. Y'all ain't this a Wednesday night. I mean, y'all just are looking all right. Put you some clothes on. People's human. Not in Philippi, but at Philippi. And then the desires of the Christian. He said, grace and peace. Grace is love in action. And peace is the God of grace, is the God of peace. Now listen, grace means that war is impossible. Peace means war is over. Contention only flourishes in the absence of grace and peace. Paul said, grace and peace. How come? Because you'll never have peace till grace comes. He wasn't confused and said peace and grace. He said grace and peace. What are you saying? Boy, I'm so glad I'm in Christ. Preacher, do you make mistakes more than I want to tell you I do? I do. I make my share of mistakes. But I'm going to tell you something about this Christian living. I hear a lot of people saying, preacher, sometimes I'm not sure if I'm saved. Sometimes I don't have that surety. Let me ask, how many, do you have an altar at home where you pray? How often do you read your Bible that you can have fellowship with the Holy Ghost? Well, no wonder you don't have that security. And you know the reason me and my wife have a stable marriage and a harmonious relationship most of the time? Because we communicate and we work on things. If you lay this Bible down, you pick it up Sunday, say, I know the preacher's going to ask us to turn. Where's my Bible? You ought to know where that Bible's at, like you know where your remote's at. I see now they're making remote controls big as my Bible. Have y'all seen that? That's amazing to me. We need one, honey. Stand tonight. Thank you for coming. Aren't you glad you've been put in Christ? Did you know if we would respond by grace, grace is saying the battle's over. You know the way our church would grow? Grace. Nobody here is perfect. Say amen again. Nobody's children's perfect. But aren't you glad you got some parents here that's been there and done that, can help you on through it? Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness and your presence and how good you've been to us. Lord, I want to thank you for allowing me to soak in your word today. I want to thank you for allowing me to have a place like this to pastor and be. Lord, tonight I pray you'd use this to help you people. Help us to grow into you. Lord, I pray for these on our prayer list that you'd help them. I ask that you'd meet with us here Sunday, and Lord, you would be with us in a great and a mighty way. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.